From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Activists demanding Medicare for All disrupted the annual meeting of the American Medical Association on Saturday in Chicago. Dozens of members of groups like People's Action filed in to the conference as the opening session began. They conducted a die-in, sharing their heartbreaking stories of being unable to access proper medical care, and demanded that the nation's leading physicians group support the call for Medicare for All. The AMA has aligned itself with an anti-Medicare for All lobbying group called Partnership for America's Healthcare Future, a group that has spent more than $100 million in propaganda efforts to undermine Medicare for All, despite its growing popularity. My guest is Connie Huynh. She is the Healthcare for All Campaign Director with People's Action. She was at the AMA meeting on Saturday. Welcome to the program, Connie.
Thank you, Sonali.
So first, why is it that you and your organization chose the AMA meeting as your venue for confronting this organization?
Well, first of all, so People's Action led the die-in in the meeting, but this was actually an effort being called by not only People's Action, but a coalition of community groups, a coalition that consisted of doctors, of patients, of people directly impacted by our healthcare crisis, of nurses. And so the AMA specifically was the venue because the AMA has historically opposed single payer healthcare and upheld medical apartheid in our country for decades. So this was brought to light in the 60s through the Poor People's Campaign led by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And so with the annual meeting that the AMA was holding this year, it was time to call them out again for being on the wrong side of history.
So let's actually take a look at what happened. We have a short video of the more than 20-minute long confrontation, just capturing some of the chants as activists filed into the conference opening session and unfurled their banner.
Debate. Nominations and elections, conflict of interest, and
AMA support Medicare for All. AMA support Medicare for All. AMA support Medicare for All.
AMA
support Medicare for All.
AMA support Medicare for All. AMA support Medicare for All. AMA support Medicare for All.
Medicare for All.
And that is a short video of the confrontation that took place between activists on Saturday and the AMA. It was actually a disruption of the AMA conference, the annual conference. So Connie, I understand that there were people that were participating who shared their stories of what had happened to them and how the current system has failed them. Can you give us a sense of some of those stories?
Yes, absolutely. So, I mean, you know, and these are exactly the people who are driving the movement and, you know, amplifying the call for a single payer Medicare for All system in our country. And I do want you to know, Sonali, that most of the people that spoke in that disruption were people who have been impacted by, again, our healthcare system and the broken nature of it for decades. These are seniors who are members of Jane Addams Senior Caucus, who have seen and experienced the real life devastating impact of not only in their own lives and their own health, but the impacts of our healthcare system on the lives of their friends and of their family. For instance, Jackie Reynolds, who grew up in Chicago, where the AMA is headquartered. She grew up in a community where Black and Brown children are confronted with systemic violence. And so Jackie herself has lived with post-traumatic stress her entire life. And even as an adult now and as a senior, she still struggles to access the mental health care she needs to restore her health from all of those decades of trauma. Also, John Johnson, or also known as JJ, has lived with chronic health conditions for 30 years. He retired from his job at Amtrak and had to wait 3 years after he retired before he was eligible for Medicare or disability. So during that time, he was trying to figure out for 3 years how he was going to take care of his health, how he was going to pay for those services, for his treatments, his medications, and, you know, just living with that stress on top of it all, you know, was a hardship for him. And so he got to tell his story there as well. Also, Lily Young, who is a senior, who is on a fixed income of $16,000 a year, but has to pay $10,000 before her insurance will cover any of her care.
So it's a deductible?
Yes, an out-of-pocket cost. So deductibles, co-insurance, all of the many different
the
things.
The premiums, right? The co-payments, right. Et cetera, yeah.
Exactly. So unfortunately, it's not a clean line in terms of what it is or very clear. But for the bottom line for her, it's $10,000 a year of her $16,000 income before her insurance pays for anything. There were also doctors there who know very well and have heard from other doctors and colleagues about the frustrations with the current health insurance system, how complicated it is, how much time they spend chasing authorizations, following up with billing and claims, and that takes away from their ability to care for patients, right? And then also doctors who have witnessed patients who have passed away from their conditions, you know, while awaiting approval and all of that from their health insurance.
So, Connie, how did the AMA respond? These were, of course, individual members, I'm assuming, who witnessed what happened. Was there, you know, were they sort of confused? Did they react negatively or positively?
You know, There was a mixture of response, Sonali. You know, our message was to the leadership of the AMA, and this was the opening ceremony of the House of Delegates, where they vote on policies within the AMA. And so, so as far as the leadership, you know, they were fairly silent. They did acknowledge that we had a right to make our voices and you know, heard, but at the same time, they said that they had a right to conduct their business. So essentially telling us that their business took precedence over the stories and the lives of people experiencing the healthcare crisis that we are in right now. As far as the membership, you know, they've got a membership or a House of Delegates of 650 people. In addition to that, there were other members who were there to observe. And we definitely got a mixture of response. Including applause, including a standing ovation, including some love on social media from people who posted out photos and comments from the actions. So I think that, you know, there's definitely a clear disconnect between the leadership of the AMA and what they are supporting and funding, right? And what the actual body and physicians and doctors and students who are members of the AMA actually want to see.
Right. This is the largest association of physicians in the United States, possibly the oldest as well. And their mission is to promote the art and science of medicine and the betterment of public health. So they've aligned with the Partnership for America's Healthcare Future, which if you go to that organization's website, it's hard to tell that it's a lobbying group, and it's hard to tell that it opposes single payer, because I understand that they don't explicitly come out against Medicare for All, and that lobbying group is focused on preserving the Affordable Care Act, but they do, their lobbyists do actively undermine single payer or Medicare for All, right?
Right. In the public, I don't think it would be wise of them for them to come out publicly saying that they're not interested in seeing every American or every person in this country get access to healthcare, affordable, quality, comprehensive healthcare. Their message is very much about improving the Affordable Care Act. Unfortunately, right, it's almost been a decade since the Affordable Care Act has passed, and we are still trying to tinker with it. And what we are seeing in our communities is that this is not enough. To share a personal story, I just had a conversation with a member from our network who committed suicide.
Oh my goodness.
He had diabetes. Mm. Yeah, he had diabetes and didn't want to be a burden to his family, and so he took his own life. And this is the reality that people are facing in our communities and the decisions that we are having to make. And so while the Partnership for America's Healthcare Future, is a well-funded lobby that is playing around with messaging, they're also playing around with people's lives. And so they have talked about, improving the ACA, but that is because they know that in order for us to have a comprehensive, truly equitable, affordable healthcare system, we have to do something about health insurance corporations and the unmatched power that corporations have right now to set the prices and negotiating power for our health
right.
industry.
The Intercept last November had a tell-all expose of this organization, the Partnership for America's Healthcare Future, where they found slides they had obtained showing the behind-the-scenes strategy by this organization that isn't just about improving the ACA, but is about insisting that single-payer or Medicare for All be sidelined. And they talk about how it's important to cast Medicare for All as something that only the far left supports, that it has minimal political support, and how they are trying to shape the narrative on the issue of Medicare for All. And they are very well funded, hundreds of $143 million of expenses to actively lobby members of Congress. But Medicare for All is continuing to gain popularity, right? It's a bill that's been introduced by Pramila Jayapal in the House. And I understand that it's going to be taken up by the House Ways and Means Committee this Wednesday.
That is correct. So we have a historic date. And yes, this speaks to, your point about the partnership is absolutely correct, Sonali. They do want to cast us as, some far left movement. But the reality is that you can't argue with the real life experiences of so many people in this country that are experiencing hardship, suffering, unnecessary deaths, financial, chaos in their lives. And that's what is important about this movement, right? Is that there are thousands of people who are sharing their stories at when they find opportunities like at the annual meeting of the AMA, in order for people to understand that this is not a far left idea. This is something that we absolutely need to take care of the health and well-being of our communities, and something that we absolutely can do. It's on Wednesday, we have the Ways and Means Committee hearing on our healthcare system, Medicare for All will be very much at the core of this hearing. And this will be the third hearing in 3 months where Medicare for All will be heard in a House committee. And so again, this just speaks to the growing movement behind Medicare for All. It also speaks to the undeniability of the need to address our healthcare crisis in this country. And the fact that Congress is being forced and left without a choice, but to actually give room So that Medicare for All is actually heard.
On Saturday, when the AMA meeting was disrupted, I understand that that happened before at the same time as there was a big rally happening in Chicago outside the AMA meeting. So there were more members of the public and other activists on the outside holding this rally. Do you find in the work that you do with People's Action that you're seeing a palpable shift in the public in terms of wanting to see Medicare for All? Because the propaganda, unfortunately, has been quite effective, right? You hear far too many people echo the line that the insurance industry wants you to hear, which is, well, how are we going to pay for it? Republicans love to raise this issue in spite of attempts by people like Bernie Sanders to lay out very clearly how we would pay for it. But you're finding that among the public, people are starting to ignore that red herring of how you're going to pay for it and demand a single payer?
Yes, absolutely. So the event on Saturday was a large convening of doctors, nurses, not just leftist groups, right, but people that are actually impacted by the system that we're in right now, members of the public. And this is the result of people actually reflecting on our own life experiences, right? So whether we know it or not, many of us actually have a healthcare story, are impacted by this healthcare crisis. And it hasn't been until Medicare for All, and specifically Pramila Jayapal's bill in the House, H.R. 1384, has been introduced, that we have really, gotten a large conversation going in our communities about this. And so thousands of people have held meetings, talked to their neighbors and family. We are, continuing to grow momentum through activities like calling attention, with the AMA and other groups that are funding the Partnership for America's Healthcare Future, and really driving not just the need for, this idea of passing, smart policy, good policy, right, and figuring out the cost behind this, how we pay for this, but the actual need and, coming to terms with the fact that we have to do something about it. And you're absolutely right, the right loves to talk about how we're going to pay for this, even though there is a way to do it, right? If you look at all of the waste and inefficiency in our healthcare system right now and all the ways that we are spending money and how expensive our healthcare system is compared to other wealthy nations, and the poor outcomes that we have comparatively, there's absolutely a way to do this. But groups like the Partnership for America's Healthcare Future, that's funded by the AMA, are trying to keep us from having that conversation out in the open.
So wait, you said that the Partnership for America's Healthcare Future is funded by the AMA?
Yes, so the AMA is actually a founding group of the Partnership for America's Healthcare Future.
This is not, yeah. So it hasn't just aligned with the partnership. They are actually part of the foundation of this organization.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
So is there an effort to, beyond this disruption on Saturday, to lobby the AMA to stop doing this? Is there some movement even within the AMA? One would imagine that there are physicians who would much rather see all their patients get healthcare and not have to divert so much staff time to navigating the complex insurance system and be the person to tell their patient that they can't get the healthcare they need because insurance won't pay for it.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, and unfortunately the history is that there are doctors within the AMA who have been forcing this conversation since the 60s and calling the AMA out for its opposition to single payer healthcare, for upholding medical apartheid. And here now, because Medicare for All again is on the table, we have the most comprehensive legislation that we have seen, and we have a strong forceful movement behind it, that you better believe it. The doctors are continuing this fight. So they have introduced a resolution to try to get the AMA to divest from the Partnership for America's Healthcare Future, and to actually support Medicare for All, to get on the right side of history. And yes, there are doctors within the AMA, within its own membership, that are experiencing, again, the impact of all of this and would like the AMA as a, you know, ideally a representative organization of its membership to get in line on the right side of history, and also with get on the right side of the issue with its membership as well and actually be representative of the doctors.
The AMA was confronted, you know, because of what your organization and others did on Saturday. It's in the news. Forbes.com had an interesting piece on Tuesday, questioning the AMA about its support for the ACA over Medicare for All. And the AMA's response was that, you know, we would much rather improve people's existing coverage. They said one of the spokespeople said that the AMA is pursuing sustainable, practical solutions. Building on the ACA would help cover the uninsured without disrupting the coverage of most Americans. We will continue to put our patients first as we engage in these debates moving forward. How do you respond to that?
What does that look like, AMA? We haven't seen anything so far. We actually have a real solution that will address, our crisis on the table, and you are not, you're not throwing your support behind it.
So apparently before the meeting, the AMA actually released a 17-page report on the costs and the impact of Medicare for All to doctors and others. And compared it with other health reform proposals. So they're being pretty open about their opposition to Medicare for All. Pretty incredible that the nation's largest physicians group is so actively opposing a government-run healthcare system.
Absolutely. It's really appalling that the AMA continues to stay linked arms with the with the health insurance industry, with the pharmaceutical lobby, right? And members from the AMA cite, payment being the reason why the AMA continues to throw its weight behind protecting and expanding the ACA, which, and so
they worry that doctors will get paid less per patient if they move to a Medicare for All system compared to staying in a private healthcare system?
Right, absolutely. Because again, in the private healthcare system, they get to control the costs and, you know, what they charge patients. And so the physician groups, the hospitals, the health insurance corporations have a lot of power in the current system. And so to let that go and put that power back in the hands of the public, so that our healthcare system actually serves people and patients and the people who need the care rather than corporate interests, is something that they've really got to wrestle with. But from doctors that we've heard inside the AMA who are part of the membership, they've cited that actually there's a lot of decreased costs that the AMA is not being open and transparent about under a Medicare for All system in terms of not having to, chase authorizations and billing and all of that, that there is, a shift and restructuring in terms of the system that we're working with, and that, doctors can still have negotiating power within that system, but the AMA just won't let go.
And interestingly enough, there is now, there are some CEOs of non-healthcare and non-health insurance related corporations that are speaking up in favor of Medicare for All, because of course they realize that if the government picks up the bill for healthcare for its workers, for their workers, they don't have to do it. And then, of course, for workers, it decouples access to healthcare from jobs. It's a win-win for companies and for workers. And of course, it's just a lose-lose for the health insurance industry and for those doctors who feel that they deserve to be able to control what they get paid per patient. So there certainly seems to be a lot of momentum. Give out a website, Connie, where people can find out more about People's Action and your work on Medicare for All.
Absolutely. We are at peoplesaction.org, .org, and then we are also on Facebook and Twitter under PPLS Action.
And we'll post a link to that from our website. Thanks so much, Connie.
Thank you, Sonali.
My guest has been Connie Huynh, Healthcare for All Campaign Director with People's Action. We've been discussing People's Action's recent confrontation of the AMA over its lack of support for Medicare for All, or I should say its active propaganda effort against Medicare for All. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.